You know, we are always preparing for something. I don't know about you, but preparation season always seems like the most hectic season for me. Because I will get, the preparation season seems to be leading up to something that typically lasts for a short time, right? So this, right now, Stephanie and I are preparing to go with my brother-in-law and sister to Scotland for a couple weeks starting next week. Super excited. Shout out to our Scottish people, Angela, my girl, right? So we've been preparing for this, and my wife thrives under these conditions. She's like, well, let me plan, and I'm going to look at all the things and figure out all the possible things that we can do, and we're gonna figure out our route, and we're gonna figure out all the things that we can do along the route, and it's gonna be so awesome. And just hearing her talk about it exhausts me. Because she's so prepared, and I'm just like, dude, let's just go with the flow, you know? And for you type A people, you're looking at me, it's like, and this guy's preaching up here? Like, what's going on? But for the rest of you, you know, like, the freedom that comes. But it's funny, oftentimes we recognize that freedom is found in the preparation. That goodness of life comes from the preparation in the hard times. Right? Now, hard times, what am I talking about? Packing. Packing is hard. Like, you're trying to not, like, overpack, and so what do? We pack, and then we're like, well, what if we need a swimsuit? Okay, let's pack a swimsuit. Well, what if we need Lego? We have no kids, but we might see kids. We may need Lego. And then all of a sudden, we're overpacked, and we're lugging a big old thing through all sorts of airports, and we're like, what are we doing? But there's something to being prepared for every situation that really speaks to our everyday life. You see, being prepared means that when situations come our way, we see them and we're able to respond in a way that is hopefully helpful. But it begs the question, how do we prepare for our lives spiritually? And even better yet, how do we prepare for the times when we go through suffering? And so oftentimes, if you're like me, you'll find yourself not prepared for the seasons of suffering that come your way because we were thinking the life was just gonna be grand and good. We thought life was just gonna be awesome. And then when life hits us in the face and we're like, what do we do? Especially spiritually, when it really is people maybe pushing against us because we've decided to follow Jesus. Because we've decided that we're no longer gonna live a lifestyle that is according to the flesh, as we'll see that Peter talks about. Today, if you get anything from this today, I want you to get this. Be prepared. Very simple. Be prepared. And I want you, we're gonna talk about three preparations that every believer needs to have. You need to prepare for suffering, prepare to fight sin, and prepare for judgment. So today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, and he is going to tell us how to be prepared. So if you wouldn't mind praying with me real quick, and then we will get into God's word. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to digest your word and let it nourish us and let us experience the goodness that comes from your word. Father, as we continue learning about what it means to live a life that is strange to the world, even though it's familiar to us, would you help us to learn how to be prepared in a spiritually hostile world? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So our first preparation we have to make is we must prepare to suffer. Take a look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin." So Peter begins with an important word. Now, kids, if you're here, I want you to remember this. We always ask a question when we see the word therefore. And what is the question? What is the therefore, therefore? So if you're ever, kids, if you're ever reading your Bible, you should ask the question, what's the therefore, therefore? And adults, you too. But you've heard me say that a bunch of times, so you don't need to hear that. So here's what we need to see. That Peter connects this passage back to the very passage that we looked at last week, where we talked about unjust pain can produce godly gain. We talked about this idea that suffering can produce these beautiful things, and ultimately that Jesus suffered on our behalf, and because of his suffering, it produced salvation for us. And so that's good and beautiful. And so now Peter's going to give us a command to tell us to live a certain way as a result of this suffering. So he first says, therefore, since Christ suffered in the body. Now, I want you to think about that, that Christ suffered in the body. So sometimes I struggle with stopping and pondering. So I just stopped and began to think, what are some of the ways that Christ suffered in the body? Well, one, he chose to leave the beauty of heaven to come to earth and put on human form, suffering, right? And then he put on not only the humanity, but he put on the fullness of it. And then as he began his ministry, he was ridiculed and mocked because he was saying that he was the Messiah. Sounds like suffering to me. And then he was betrayed by one of his closest friends and was given a criminal's death. A death that was physically just the worst death that you could experience. It was suffering. But he just didn't suffer in those ways. He suffered by stubbing his toe, because I'm sure he did that. That's not in the text though, so don't look for that there. It's not. He suffered through relationships. He suffered through loss. He became human, and here's what happened. As the human that he was, he became the prototype of all humanity, what humanity was supposed to be. He went through all of life and did life without sinning. And because he did life without sinning, he lived a life of suffering. Because I want you to catch this, you're gonna see this throughout this whole text, that the more you say no to sin, the more you're going to suffer. So you need to prepare to suffer. And so Peter says, since we have this suffering that Jesus took on, what should you do? Arm yourselves with the same attitude. This word arm is a word that has military connotations to it. It literally means to take up arms or to equip yourself with a weapon for battle. Right? Now, when does this typically happen? What happens if you decide to just prepare a weapon in the middle of a battlefield? Well, it's not gonna go well for you. But if you prepare beforehand, you are equipping yourself with the ability to defend yourself. And what are we supposed to equip ourselves with? The attitude of Christ. We're supposed, our weapon of warfare is the attitude of Christ, and we arm ourselves with it. And that is our means of saying, we, the same lifestyle that Jesus lived, we're going to choose to live that same way as well. You might be saying, Roland, that sounds real difficult. That, I don't know if I can do that. You're right. But Jesus can in you. See, if you're preparing to suffer, that means you're preparing to say yes to Jesus. That means you're preparing to take on the attitude of Christ. That means that you are saying yes to the ways of Jesus and choosing to love your neighbor as yourself. You're choosing to love your enemies and bless those who persecute you. You are choosing to tell the truth even in the midst of religious, like, fight infighting. You choose to serve the people you're leading. See, you arm yourself with the attitude of Christ, and this is the way that you get prepared for suffering, because if Christ suffered for living that same way, don't you think you will as well? Because he even goes further and he says this, that as we arm ourselves with Christ, he says this, this is wild. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. Now, I read that passage and I'm like, I would love to say for myself that in practice, I am done with sin. I would love to say that I am coming up as the perfect guy to be here for a sabbatical, and I'm going to be the perfect pastor while Barry's gone. I'm going to be done with, I won't say anything harmful or hurtful at any time. I'm just going to be top notch and the best of the best. But the reality is that by God's grace, that may happen. But the reality is about the attitude that we choose and how that affects the way that we live. Catch that. The attitude you choose will affect the way that you live. Whoever you're modeling your life after, you, in arming yourself with that mentality and mindset, and hear me, this is before suffering even happens. You prepare yourself before the suffering happens, right? Now, kid, we've got some kids in here, and my man Jude over here. This is all, I've learned so much about Minecraft from Jude. And yes, I have, right? Now, here's what I've found out. The lead character, his name is Steve in Minecraft, and imagine for a second, kids, if you were playing Minecraft and you decided to go out into the world and do an epic dig and you were trying to get diamond and netherite stone and all these things, and you went out with a wood pickaxe. Is that gonna work? Jude, is that gonna work?
No.
No way it's not gonna work, because you were not prepared for this thing, right? And here's what you need to understand. These kids understand that in order to be prepared for the craziest scenarios, whether it's creepers or piglin brutes, right? And parents, you're like, why is Brolin speaking in tongues in church? You'll get there, just a second. The thing these kids know and the thing they've learned from this video game, Minecraft, is that they recognize that the toughest situations require the best preparations for the ultimate outcome. You see, you have to be prepared now if you want to see an outcome that honors God with your life. And just like Steve has to make sure he has epic diamond axes and netherite axes to go and get the diamonds and all the cool stuff, as believers, our job is to prepare right now for the worst situations so that we can experience the best of outcomes. Because for those of us who choose to put on the attitude of Christ, it's not when the if suffering is going to happen, it's going to be a matter of when suffering comes. So The first thing we see is that we have to be prepared to suffer. Now, the second thing you're going to see is that we must be prepared to fight sin. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, it says this. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. Here's what I want you to see here. This living that we're called to do, Peter begins by saying, as a result. Bible students, this is always important for you to see. If you see this in your Bible, this is a purpose clause. This is telling you, here's what should happen as a result of you arming yourself with the attitude of Christ. And so what does he say? As a result, what will you do? What will happen? As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Now, this is a strange thing because the pronoun switch to they is difficult. I was looking at this earlier this week with Crosby, and we were looking at this passage and we're like, why does it say they? Well, I found out the pronouns are not actually in this passage in Greek. So what they're doing is trying to make this understandable. In the meantime, I was confused. So I blame me, not the translators. But what ultimately he's trying to say is this. As a result, you've got a battle that is on your hands. You can either live according to earthly desires, earthly human desires, or you can go for God's will. So your preparations with arming yourself with the attitude of Christ, you now have a choice to play on one of two teams. First, you can go for human earthly desires. You can try and live for that. You can also try and live for God's will. Those are your two choices. And for anybody who puts on the attitude of Christ, they choose to put on God's will. And when they choose God's will, what they also realize is that they're going to suffer as a result of their choice. Why is that? We'll keep looking in this passage. He breaks this down for us. He says this, verse 3. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. You see, when you choose to live according to God's will, you are choosing not to live in a former way of life. You see, there was a way that you lived, whether you were 4 years old when you got saved or you were 40 when you got saved. There, you have a history beforehand that was not good. Even as a child, even if you were here and you're like, well, I don't even know what those words mean. Don't worry about it. Were you a sinner before you chose to follow Jesus? Yes. And as a result, what was the reality for you? You are dead in your trespasses and sins. And the reality is, we lived a certain way. For some of us, we lived all sorts of crazy lives. And it might sound exactly like what Peter's talking about. Debauchery, you know, and that's what this world offers, by the way. Debauchery is the idea of losing yourself and losing control of yourself for the sake of fun, partying, and ultimately choosing to sin, right? That debauchery is something that the world tells you to participate in. And for some of you, you said, yo, I did that. And that was crazy. And now I'm following Jesus. That's something I can't do anymore. That's a life that I can't live. He talks about lust, that idea of looking at something and lusting after it, trying to take something that is yours, that is forbidden, that is not yours. That's not the way that God called you to live. He ends this with an all-encompassing, detestable idolatry. He says this all rounds out into disgusting idolatry. What does idolatry mean? It means somebody else sits on the throne of your heart where Jesus is supposed to sit. And whoever that thing is sitting on a pure, beautiful throne that is being tainted by your sin. So you must fight sin. And how do you go about fighting sin? It's saying yes to God's will and no to earthly human desires. So let me just give an example of this. Peter gives the explicit command to say, you used to live all sorts of crazy in your past life. And that past life, if you are driving down the road, the past life that you are living is in a rear view mirror. And in the windshield in front of you, you see the will of God and you see that it's bumpy, but you're prepared. You got a spare tire in the back of your car. You got some change just in case the terrain gets crazy. You're prepared. When we're walking in God's will, our eyes are forward and locked on the destination that we're heading to. However, when we're falling to human desires, it's like we're trying to drive to a destination by looking at the rearview mirror. Now, kids, imagine your parent wasn't focused on looking outside. They were so focused on the rearview mirror in their past life that they were trying to drive while only looking at what's behind them rather than what's ahead of them. Would that be a good thing? No way. And listen, if you're here today and you've got sin that you look at and you're holding in your hands and you're saying, I had so much fun with that sin. I don't want to let that go. It was so good to me. I want to hold on to that sin. I don't want to fight that sin. I want you to hear this. That sin is the sin that will keep you from experiencing the fullness and goodness of God. You hear that? If you want to experience the fullness and goodness of God, you've got to stop living out of the rearview mirror and either being sad about the way you used to live or desiring what was behind you, and you've got to choose that today, no, the will of God is here. I'm gonna make sure that I'm not doing anything by glancing up into the rearview mirror at times to see if I'm living that kind of life. And if I am, I'm changing that right now and I'm gonna keep my pursuit on God. But if you are here today and you're getting caught up in human desires, what should you do? First off, if you've been told that now and you're saying, yeah, I got caught up in some of that stuff, that is God's Holy Spirit working and living inside of you. And that means that God's Spirit is with you, and that means you have the power to say no to sin, and that means that you can press on towards the mark of the high calling of Christ. That means that you can put away the old life that you have. Why? Because God's will is better. And as we prepare to fight sin, we need to recognize, and if we believe that the sin we used to live is at any point better than what God has to offer, we are falling into a trap of the enemy. And so, let's say you decided to follow God's will. What's the potential of what's going to happen? And I'm talking about in your house, in your school, in your workplace, if you decide to say no to sin, what is the results going to be? Take a look at this last verse here in verse 4. It says this, They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. You see, one of the hardest things that you're going to have to experience is that as you follow Jesus, the way you used to live is going to keep you in a place that either you, if you say yes to that, you're gonna trip up into sin and you're gonna be like, oh man. But as you say no to sin, as you decide to follow the will of God, the world's gonna look at you because they don't understand you anymore and say, you used to make fun of the same people I used to. You used to be somebody that I could gossip with. You used to be the person that would cheat on tests with me. You used to be the person that lived this kind of life with me. Now you don't live this kind of life with me. And so now as a result, I'm going to make fun of you and heap abuse on you. Because they're surprised, just like most people are. When you decide to follow Jesus and you never followed Jesus before and you said, I'm gonna go the way of God and I'm going to fight sin and I'm going to be ready by opening up God's word and saying, how did God fight sin? Well, he used God's word. Well, what else did he do? Man, he spent time praying to God and spending time with the Father. What else did he do? Man, when he talked to people, he told the truth, but he said the truth with love. And so I'm going to do those things. When we take part in those things, we are going to experience suffering as a result of the world around us. Christianity, folks, is a high calling. And there is a spiritually hostile world that wants us to identify with our political leanings rather than Jesus. They want us to identify with our sinful nature rather than Jesus. They want us to identify with anything except for Jesus. Peter commands us, don't fall back into it, but be prepared to fight sin. Because ultimately, if we are prepared to fight sin, we are going to be prepared for the next things that come in life. And so we've been told that we need to be prepared for suffering. We need to prepare to fight sin. And now we need to prepare for judgment. Now, that sounds real heavy. That sounds real heavy, doesn't it? But take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says this, but they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standard in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. And so the first thing that we see is this is the hope for the believer. Our hope is that there's a day coming when the judgment, because we've decided to be prepared and put on the same attitude as Christ Jesus, since we put on that attitude, there is going to be an accountability for us and there's going to be an accountability for those who decide to live according to the human desires. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, this is our hope. But there's a time when the broken, sinful world outside of us will have to give an account. And so Peter begins by saying that we will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. This dead is important because he's talked about the dead multiple times since 3:18 and 19. He's brought this idea of dead back into this. And so he's going to be talking about the spiritually alive and the spiritually dead. And I want you to have that in the context because this can be a confusing passage. Why? Because he says, for this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead. So based on what we read last week and like Jesus descending and declaring victory to whoever he was declaring victory to, whether it's Nephilim or all those things, like we don't have to rehash that. Ultimately, what he's saying is this, that he wouldn't proclaim victory to the dead. And now the gospel is being preached, whether they hear it and accept it and become alive or they are spiritually dead. Everybody's going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to be held accountable for what they say to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for those of us who live according to the Spirit, according to the will of God, who have put on the same attitude as Christ Jesus, for us, this is our hope. Because there's going to be a day when that is coming where we get to see the very Jesus who was crucified on a cross. Not only for the sake of glorifying God, but for the sake of us as well. And that is beautiful for us. But it's not good news for the world. There's a judgment that is coming where everyone will be held accountable for the way that they've lived. And for us as believers, we will be held according to the gospel that we've understood. For those who have said no to this gospel, they're going to be judged by the human standard. That means that they're not going to be judged by what Christ has done, but rather based on their works, they lived according to this life. Let me tell you, kids, adults, I want you to hear this. God is a good judge who is going to care for you if you're a part of Christ, but he's also a good judge in that he will be fair in his judgment of those who decide not to follow Jesus. You see, Jesus has always been good. So there's going to be two ways that you're going to be judged. It'll be according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. And so he comes to this place where he talks about this idea of preaching the gospel to the dead. And this, there's predominantly two views. And the view that, and if you want to deep dive into it, please do. It's a fascinating little study. But ultimately this, I would say this view is those who have heard the gospel during the lifetime and said no to it. Those are the spiritually dead that he's preaching the gospel to. This view sees the gospel as applying to all people throughout history. And so if you see this continuity of the gospel being preached to both the living and the dead, this is for the good of those people who have never heard the gospel so that they might say yes to it. But the spiritually dead will be judged according to the flesh. So I want you to think about this for a second. What does it look like for you to be prepared? What does it look like for you to be prepared to put on the same attitude as Christ Jesus? Where is it that you need an attitude adjustment, right? How many of you have ever been to a chiropractor before? Now, I hate them. I feel like everybody says you have to go like 18 times for it to work, and I always feel like a mangled mess every time. I'm like, you are abusing my body. I want nothing to do with this. But just like a chiropractor adjusts things in your neck and your spine to adjust it, to get it set in a way that is healthy for your body, so too, as believers, we need to have an attitude adjustment at times to be prepared when suffering comes. Are you living your life today as if suffering's going to come, or as if suffering's never going to come? And it doesn't mean that you're living like, you know, bunker mentality, where it's like, oh, the worst is gonna happen, just be ready, let's go. For those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we have a hope for the future. No matter what kind of suffering comes, it pales in comparison to the glory that is about to come. You see, all throughout history, there was a preparation where even God uses sin in a person's life to bring about the preparation of living out their call in life. You see, Moses, what did he do? He murdered a man in Egypt, and God used that as a preparation point for him to prepare for the suffering that was gonna be incurred through Pharaoh, and not just through Pharaoh, but also the people of Israel. His own very people that looked at him and said, Moses, can we get out of the desert, please? But God prepared him through the times of suffering that he might be ready to take on even greater ministry opportunity, so to speak, because he stepped into suffering. You see, David, he spent all this time in the field learning to go to battle with lions and bears and, you know, I could go with the Wizard of Oz, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? But David went to work in the field before he ever saw a Goliath in his life. You see that? He went to work way before it. He was also recognized who God was, because what was the thing that motivated him to go against Goliath? It was, how dare you, Philistine, defame the name of God? And he said, I'm going to choose to live according to the will of God, not according to the flesh, and I'm going to fight against that sin. And you see this in Jesus' life, where we have a whole undocumented portion of his life. We've got little bits and pieces leading up to the beginning of his ministry. But we do know that he's like, why were you searching for me? You knew I was going to be in my Father's house. Will it be said of you that you're in a stage of preparation, that in your preparation stage, as you prepare for what's coming against you, as you say yes to Jesus, that are you prepared for the suffering that's gonna come because you said yes to Jesus and that meant you said no to sin? And because you said no to cheating on your essays, because you said no to the gossip that was happening in your workplace, because you said no to this attitude of just being a grumbler and complainer, because you said no to these things, people are going to press against you because they want you to be a part of their sin, because it feels better when they don't have to be held accountable because the Spirit of God moves and convicts in the lives of the people around them. So are you prepared for what God is going to do in your life because you said yes to Jesus? If you want a couple ideas on how to prepare, it's simple. Are you spending time with God? Because Jesus spent days and days and hours with his Father. That was the attitude Jesus had. Are you spending time thinking about God's word? Because that's what Jesus did. When Satan came and tempted him, what did he use to rebuff temptation? He used God's word. Are you prepared to love no matter what the scenario is? If you want to prepare for suffering today, you got to be prepared today. And that means putting on the same attitude as Christ did and ultimately saying no to sin, because the judgment that is to come, if we say yes to Jesus now, our judgment is sure in that we will be with Christ and we don't have to worry about the judgment according to the flesh. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get into your word. And so, Father, we ask now that you would help us to prepare our hearts to say yes to you right now. God, I just wanna take a minute and just let you work right here in the hearts of your people. What do you want people to be prepared for? In what ways are you calling people to be prepared? God, would you speak to your people right now? Would you give them clarity on what you want them to do right now in this moment?